When I was a kid, I liked to read comic books. And I mean I liked reading, you know, Superman and Batman, The Flash, Green Lantern, Justice League of America, and on and on it went. And as a kid, one of my dreams I just wanted to have a subscription to every one of those comic books. Well, I never got it. And so I trusted the local drugstore. I'd run over there across the street. Sometimes I'd go over there almost every day to see if the new comic books had come in. And, it was just interesting to read those things. And I look back on it and wasted a lot of money. But I guess the one comic book that I had more than anything had to do with Superman. Now, you know, Superman, he came from the planet Krypton. Oh, by the way, I don't really believe all of this. All right, I know. The Superman came from the... I wanted to be sure, you know. Sometimes when I tell stories, I get these looks like, seriously? You realize? So anyway, Superman, you know, he came from the planet Krypton, and the planet blew up, and little spaceship came to Earth, landed on the farm of Jonathan and Martha Kent. So they adopted him, and they gave him the name of Clark. So they had, you know, a little baby, and he was growing up, went to school and so forth. And then later, as he became an adult, he ended up being a reporter at the Daily Planet. That's where he met Lois Lane. And you know, it was just interesting how that Clark Kent, here he was, and he put on those glasses, and suddenly nobody could recognize him as being some... It's like, come on, are you people really that dumb? And the glasses weren't even fancy. I mean, just these little round things, and suddenly nobody knew who he was. But here he was, Superman. He had all these powers. You know, he could leap tall buildings in a single bound. Why, he was more powerful than a speeding locomotive. And he was faster than a bullet. Speeding bullet, my goodness, what a man. And quite frankly, I don't know. When I was young, I thought it was pretty cool. But as I got older, I thought, you know, if I was a superhero, I wouldn't wear an outfit like that. That's just a little too dainty for me. I'm not doing that. But okay, I mean, he's Superman. He can do whatever he wants. But he had all those powers. You know, he had X-ray vision, and he could, like, do heat beams out of his eyes and melt things. He could hear with super hearing what people were talking about and why he could blow super breath, knock things down, and actually freeze things. And he was strong, he'd bend metal and all this, and break through walls, blah, blah, blah. Superman. Well, the thing is, you know, I was thinking about this. Now, don't laugh too hard, all right? But I was thinking about it the other day. And to Superman, it is unnatural to live as Clark Kent. Think about it. It is totally unnatural for Superman to live as Clark Kent. Because he's not Clark Kent. He's Kal-El from the planet Krypton. But he lives as Clark Kent until there is a need for Superman. He blends in. In fact, you know, if he were to just put on a pair of jeans and a t-shirt without the glasses, people would think he's just everybody else. But he wears that red, blue uniform and the yellow emblem and the S and all that. Why, that's Superman. But to Superman, it was totally unnatural to live as Clark Kent. And I can remember one of the Superman movies here within the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, whatever it was. And teenage Clark Kent was being picked on by the kids at school. Well, they didn't know who he was. And, oh, he had to restrain himself from just whooping those guys. And he's talking to his dad, and he was really frustrated. He said, but there's all this stuff I can do. You know, if I could play football, I could score a touchdown every time. And all these things that he could do, but his dad was telling him, well, son, you know, you just can't do all of that. And so for him, for Superman, growing up and then in his adult years, it was totally unnatural for him to live as Clark Kent. Well, likewise, it should be totally unnatural for Christians to live as mere normal humans. But what's the problem? We live as mere normal humans. Now, some people would think, well, Brother Martin, that just sounds like the dumbest and weirdest thing I've ever heard. Well, let's take a look at Scripture here, okay? Turn over to John chapter 8. We'll start off with Jesus. John chapter 8, and we're not going to be reading entire chapters. We'll kind of jump in here and there just to get the idea for all of this. But John chapter 8, verse 23, and he, Jesus, said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Now that last part there where he says, ye are of this world, I am not of this world, quite frankly, that is a quote that could have come from Superman's mouth. You understand what I mean by that? You're of this planet. I'm not. I know I look like you, but I'm not of this world. Well, look over in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Well, he's talking about the apostles that were with him. And where he says that I'm praying for them also which shall believe on me through their word, well, ultimately, we've believed on Jesus as a result of the word they preached, you know, obviously a few centuries later, but we're the downline to what they preached. So ultimately then what we see here is that Jesus, this prayer, it applies for us as well. And he says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now look at this. Very briefly, Jesus is saying, Father, I want them to have the same kind of identity in you that I have. Earlier we saw where he said, I'm not from this world. You are from this world. I'm not from this world. You are from beneath. I'm from above. And here we see him making this prayer, this declaration, I want them to be like me. I want them to have the same type of existence in you that I have in you. Well, if he's not of this world, then if I have the same kind of existence in him and in the Father that he has, I can't be of this world either. Do you see this? If I'm going to have this kind of unity with Jesus Christ, then something has to happen so that I am no longer of this world. It has to happen. Otherwise, this could never come to pass. Well, look over in John chapter 15. Now, you have to remember that a lot of Jesus' teaching and preaching and so forth was very prophetic relative to the body of Christ. And that's what we're reading here. In John 15, verse 19, he says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So here we see him making this declaration. And again, he's speaking prophetically for what is going to come. He says that we're not of this world. Well, I don't know about you, but the last time I looked in the mirror, I sure looked like I was from this world. But he says, "I've chosen you out of this world. You are not of this world." Now look over, turn back over to John chapter 17. Verse 14. He says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." In verse 16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now, quite frankly, if you just sit and think about that, Jesus is saying that those of us who believe in him are like him. He's not of this world. Therefore, neither are we, if we've accepted him as Savior. He says, "I'm not of this world." And he says, "Just like I'm not of this world, they are not of this world. You are not of this world." The magnitude of this absolutely escapes us. Because we are, I'll get into this a little bit more, but we are not led to believe any of this. We are told, read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, because God can't lie. This is the Word of God. This is the foundation. This is the rock, etc., etc., and so on. Then we come around to verses like this that says we're not of this world. Do you realize this is God's perspective of us? God is looking at us and he's saying, "You're not of this world. You're not of this world. You are not of this world." Look over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." That kingdom is not of this world. Even Jesus talked about that in another place. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so now I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So from God's perspective, I'm not of this world. Let me say this another way. As the world defines it, Christians are not human. As the world defines it, Christians are not human. We'll get into some more of this here as we progress a little bit. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And listen to what's written, beginning in verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now look here. "Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Where he says in verse 10, "which in time past were not a people," not going to get into all the, you know, Greek words and so forth, but this means at one time you were a species that did not exist. See, this sounds so weird to the world's way of thinking. This sounds so strange. It sounds like, you know, that's like weird science fiction kind of stuff. But that's the Word of God. Now, you can fuss with it all you want, but you're not going to change the Word of God. Best thing you can do is change yourself and what you believe. He says right here, I beseech you, verse 11, as strangers and pilgrims. Well, I wouldn't be a stranger and a pilgrim if I were from here. But he says, I beseech you as a stranger and a pilgrim. I speak to you as somebody, now listen to this, who does not have a point of origin in this world. You are not what you used to be. You have been translated out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and Jesus himself told you that his kingdom is not of this world. You are considered by God a pilgrim and a stranger. Let me say it another way here. We are alien beings who have put on an earth suit. And we look like all the people of the world. But in reality, we're invaders. We're not what we used to be. We are not of this world. And if you go to God and start bellyaching about life, he's going to say, wait a second, hold on here. How are you looking at your life? Do you believe that Jesus struggled with sin? Why not?
Well, the Bible says he was tempted like as we are.
Tempted. I didn't ask you, was Jesus tempted? I asked, do you think he struggled?
No.
Tempted, yes. Struggled, no. What's the difference? He knew who he was. He knew he was not of this world, and he understood, I'm not of this world. This world has nothing in me. I'm not of this world. Therefore, the temptations of this world, they're temptations, but they're not struggles. Not for me. So what happens with so many Christians? Struggles with sin. You know why? It's because they haven't figured out who they are in Christ. They haven't figured out they are no longer human beings as the world defines human beings.
Well, Brother Martin, I think something happened to you on that plane. I think you have altitude sickness or something.
No. What am I showing you in the Word of God? I'm not saying anything that the Word of God hasn't already said. I may be phrasing it differently, but this is the same thing. Look over in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Now look here in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we, where? In this world. You see that? It's a clear distinction that we are not of this world. Now we're in this world, but we are not of this world. Jesus said, I am from above, you are from beneath. I am not from this world, you are. And the moment that we put our faith in Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior, from God's perspective, we're no longer of this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. In this world. Now, outwardly, we carry a world composition. But inwardly, we are a God creation. So outwardly, we look like everybody else. Do you have any idea how many churches would probably have interrupted me by now, dragged me out the door, and said, don't come back? A bunch of them. That's because too many times what happens is, we just don't know who we are, and the people who are supposed to let us know who we are, they don't know who they are. We are supposed to blend into this world without becoming a friend of it.
You can read about that over in James chapter 4, verse 4. We're supposed to blend in. Jesus blended in. He blended into this world to set an example for us. So now here we are, born again, and we've been changed. Spiritually, we are different, and we're not of this world. We're living in a flesh body, and we blend in. But we are not of this world. Outwardly, we carry this world composition, this body, but inwardly, we are a God creation. And that's how we're supposed to live. Now, look over in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Now, remember earlier, when I was talking about how that Clark Kent, he blends into humanity, you know, puts his glasses on, even though he doesn't really need them. He puts his glasses on and, you know, wears his suit and tie and all this and goes to work being a reporter at the Daily Planet and blah, blah, blah and all that. But when there's a crisis, you know, remember years ago in the comic books and on TV, he'd run into a phone booth. I don't know where he changes now because you can't phone booths, you know, they're just not around like they used to be. But somehow, some way, he's able to change. I don't know. But he changes into his Superman outfit. And then he starts doing these incredible things. Why, if a plane is crashing, he flies up and grabs the plane and keeps it from crashing. If somebody's falling from a building, he catches them and makes sure they don't hit the ground and die, and on and on and on. When the bad guys show up, why, he does superhuman feats of strength to stop the bad guys. And when aliens invade from space, why, he takes them on. And he doesn't even have a lightsaber. He just uses his Superman powers and stops them. And you know, you read that, and I can remember, boy, when I was a kid, man, I wanted to be Superman. Everybody wanted to be Superman. And all the kids talked about how that If you could just get a Superman outfit, you know, like the Halloween costumes. I remember, you know, I'm a kid. Mom and Dad used to take us out for Halloween. I don't cast stones now. Back then, people didn't talk about Halloween and what it really meant. And so, you know, we'd dress up, and you know, I can remember going to people's door, knock, 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 crank a train. You know, oh, what are you supposed to be? It's like, well, what's it look like? I'm a pirate. Come on, jeez. Today, you know what? Today, if I had a kid, I think I'd just, you know, put their jeans and T-shirt on and take them around, knock on the door. And then when the people open the door and say, well, what are you supposed to be? I'd have the kid look at them and say, normal. But we heard, you know, if you could just get a Superman outfit, you could actually fly a little bit. Oh, I wanted one of those outfits so I could fly. And everybody knew somebody who put on their Superman outfit, you know, and jumped off the swing set or whatever, and they could actually flew for like, you know, 10 feet or something like that. Yeah, I believed that back then. Last week, I finally found out that is not true. Because I finally got the outfit and tried it. It does not work. But nevertheless, you know, Superman did all these incredible things when there was a need. Okay. What about us? Now let's think. We're supposed to blend in, are we not? We look like everybody else, do we not? But when a need arises, are we not supposed to do, quote, Superman feats? Let me show you. Did I tell you to turn to Mark chapter 9? Well, bless my heart. Look in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. There it is, right there. Is that not a Superman feat? Sure it is. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things. All things are possible to him that believeth. Turn over to Mark chapter 16. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I don't know about you, but that reminds me of leap tall buildings in a single bound, and more powerful than a locomotive, and faster than a speeding bullet, and whatever else. Those are Superman feats right there. That is superhuman exploits right there. That's comic book stuff. I'm not speaking disparagingly of Scripture. I'm using this to illustrate. That's the kind of stuff that people of this world can't do. And Jesus says, you're not of this world. If you're of me, then you're one with me like I'm one with the Father. You're one with the Father like I'm one with the Father, so on and so forth. You're not of this world. And because of that, you're superhuman. You exceed anything that a normal human can do. At least that's your potential. So here we are. Man, we've got Superman on the inside of us. That's who we've become, superhuman. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. That is our potential. But it sounds so far-fetched. It sounds impossible. It sounds incredible. It sounds like a fantasy. And yet, this is what is recorded in Scripture. Look in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, look what Jesus says, just the first half of verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The works that I do shall he do also. If you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. If you're not of this world, then in you is the potential to do the works that I have done. That would be like Superman standing in front of a room full of people, thousands of people, big arena full of people, and saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you are from Krypton instead of Earth, the works that I do, you shall do also. And then everybody in the room who's from Krypton could stand up and say, hey, that's me. You mean I can leap tall buildings in a single bound? You mean I'm faster than a speeding bullet? You mean I can bend steel? You mean I can score a touchdown every time? Do you know how much money I can make, Jesus? Superman? Do you understand this? Okay, he is describing right here feats of superhuman capability. In our human minds, it makes no sense. Absolutely none. Because we can't see ourselves doing that. And the reason we can't is because we've not been led to believe this. Again, we should see it totally unnatural to live a normal human life. Not the way the world describes it. But here's the problem. Religion trains us to essentially deny our true existence and embrace a lifestyle that is not of our true existence. Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. Oh, but now, Brother Martin, listen, nobody can do the works of Jesus. That'd be like telling Superman, now look, even though we're all from Krypton, nobody can do your works. We're telling Jesus, okay, look, even though we're born again, we're not of this world, nobody can do your works. Jesus said, you calling me a liar? I said, if you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also. But religion continues to tell us what we can't do and who we aren't. You're just a lousy, stinking, no-good sinner. Well, they don't say it like that, but that's what they imply. I was told growing up, it was impossible to not sin. You're going to sin. You're going to sin. That's just who you are. You may be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, but you're going to sin soon. You're going to. You just wait and see. You're going to sin. It's like, well, okay. But when I do, don't yell at me, because you told me I was going to. But Jesus was tempted like as we are, and always tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Okay, that's the superhuman potential. Oscar Wilde once said, I can resist anything but temptation. Jesus set the example of what we can do when we're not of this world, and we're not of this world. We carry around the composition of this world, our suit, if you will, but we're not of this world. Yet religion continually trains us otherwise. When Jonathan and Martha Kent found little baby Superman, Kal-El, they began raising him. Well, they had to teach him how to walk and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, my imagination just goes out there because I'm thinking, okay, what? They walked in one day and they're like, oh, the crib is empty, and he's up there flying around the room or something. I don't know. But at some point in time, Jonathan Kent had to sit down with little baby Clark and explain to him who he really was. Have you noticed, son, that you're not like anybody else around here? Have you noticed you can do things that nobody else can do? Let me tell you why. Let me take you out here to the barn and show you the spaceship that crashed and whatever. And he began explaining it to him. I mean, at some point in time, he had to tell him. He had to explain it to him. Well, you know what? Every church that preaches Jesus is supposed to be explaining to us who we are. Every church. Stop telling me what I can't do and start explaining to me my potential as a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Just begin reading in verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love to all the saints. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that right there tells me these people are not of this world. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. See, the more you understand who He is, the more you understand who you are. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He's saying, I want you guys to come to the place of knowing who you are, of understanding you're not of this world. Look over in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Once again, he's saying, I want you to come to the place of knowing who you are. I want you to understand your point of origin. I want you to understand your inherent potential and capabilities. I want you to know you are not a mere human being the way the world describes humanity. And then if you look over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Once again, he's saying, I want you to come to the place of understanding what you are, who you are, what you can do, your potential. When you look in the mirror, you are seeing a mere mortal human. But you need to understand something, that even though you will never become deity, you are not of this world. And you have within you the potential to do superhuman, Superman-type things. You have the ability to minister healing to people. You're not the healing power generator. That comes from God. However, because you're not of this world, he is able to funnel that power through you and minister healing to people. That's who you are. You can cast devils out of people. You can do all kinds of things. But you have to come to the place of understanding who you are. Every church that preaches Jesus is supposed to be teaching this. Every single one. And when we look at ourselves, we see us. We see somebody that, well, at times we don't think has a chance. We see somebody that we don't think has potential. We see somebody that we think just a loser. We see somebody that we do not verbalize what we think about ourselves, because we just don't want to sound too stupid in front of everybody, but we struggle with those kind of thoughts. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus never struggled with those kind of thoughts because he firmly knew who he was. Hey, listen. You know, you talk about Jonathan Kent having to sit down. You know, Jonathan and Martha sitting down with little Clark and explaining to him, okay, here's what happened. Do you understand that sooner or later, Mary and Joseph had to sit down and talk to Jesus and let him know? Jesus was not born from the womb quoting Scripture. He grew and he was taught. By the time he was 12 years old, he had a pretty good grip on this, because remember, he's in Jerusalem for the feast and just, you know, amazed everybody and the experts and all that. But at some point in time, Mary and Joseph had to sit down and they talked to him about this. They explained these things to him. You know, here's little Jesus. Daddy, daddy, daddy. Well, the day came, they had to sit him down and say, son, you need to understand. I mean, I really enjoy raising you. However, I'm not really your dad. I mean, I'm your dad, but I didn't father you. And you mentioned there's little Jesus. What do you mean, daddy? Well, son, once upon a time, there was an angel. Showed up to your mother. And then showed up to me. And here's what happened. I don't know how all that played out. But somehow, they had to have that talk with him. Somehow. Maybe one day, you know, little 5-year-old Jesus walks up and says, Mom, something's just not right. I mean, I don't feel like the way the other kids seem to feel. What's going on? Is there something wrong with me? I don't know how it worked out, but I'll guarantee you they had that talk with him at some point in time. Well, you know what? Pastors are supposed to be having this talk with their congregations. What would our potential be right now if, from childhood, our pastors, our parents, our Sunday school teachers were telling us who we are, who a Christian is? And then when we get born again, this is being reinforced, that you're not of this world. You know, God is your father. Now, you look like the child of your parents, Jonathan and Martha. But God is your Father. See, the moment you accepted Jesus as Savior, God became your Father. He birthed you. Now, on the outside, you still look the same. But see, that outside part of you, that's not permanent. The permanent part of you is not of this world. Now, you're never going to grow up and be another God. But you're not of this world. And if our potential had been taught to us from childhood, I'm telling you right now, Christians would not struggle with so much of the stuff that we struggle with. Because we know who we are. Well, guess what? It's not too late. We can still come to the place of understanding who we are, but it's going to take some meditation in Scripture. The one thing that was a danger to Superman was what? Kryptonite. Do you realize that religion is to Christians what kryptonite is to Superman? Religion will stop you. Religion will take you down. Religion will hinder you. Religion will tell you, oh, yeah, you're born again. And, yeah, you know, you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. But, you know, all these people out there think that they can just go around laying hands on folks, get them healed. No, see, that was only Jesus. Okay, well, what about the apostles? Well, that was them too. Well, what about this guy Stephen? Nobody knows what he did other than serve tables. Okay, well, all right, he was the exception. They keep, you know, coming up with excuses as to why it's not for today. And yet it is for today. Because we're not of this world. And if you're not of this world, you can still do not of this world things. I'm not of this world. You're not of this world. The problem is we've got to come to the place of believing this. And this is the major problem. And it's not, you know, well, look at me. I mean, I don't have a college education. And, you know, I ain't too bright upstairs. And, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. You know what? Go ahead. Just go ahead and lock yourself up in that prison. There's nothing I can do. I cannot help you. Not even God can help you. When you make a decision that you're just going to accept your self-perception and self-definition as opposed to what God has said about you. You're not of this world. And you can lay hands on the sick. And you can cast out devils.
Well, Brother Martin, can I turn water into wine?
Nah, don't go. No. I know why you're asking that question.
What about Jack Daniels? Can I turn it into Jack Daniels?
No, you leave that to those folks down there in Tennessee. Well, that's where the distillery is, the Jack Daniels. You guys look at me like, oh, he's making fun of people in Tennessee. I am not. That's where the distillery is. Good heavens. Look, we're not of this world. That's what the Bible says. I'm growing in this understanding. We all need to keep growing in this. But I'm telling you right now, if you keep defining yourself by who you used to be, and if you let religion continue to define you, and if you let your self-perception of who you are now continue to define you. You know, you're born again, you'll make it to heaven, but man, you'll never begin to step into your potential. Could you imagine, you know, here's, you know, another person from Krypton, and boy, he dies and he goes to Superman heaven. And he's talking to, you know, Superman. He's hearing all these exploits, and he says, boy, I sure wish I could have done all that. And Superman looks at him and says, wait a second. You could have. You were from Krypton, living on Earth. You were in that world, but you weren't of it. Wait a minute now, hold on. Everybody down there told me nobody could do what you did. That's because they weren't from Krypton, and you were. You could have done everything I did.
Yeah, you could have flown. You could have done all that stuff. You lived your whole life and didn't realize who you were. And the whole time, you were who you were. We sit around and we wait and hope. Boy, someday, maybe God will release the anointing on me. Then I can do those things. And so we sit around and we wait as though we don't already have the potential to do this. Now, I know he said you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm not dismissing that. But what I'm saying is that you have to start out by understanding you're not of this world. And you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit, who is not of this world. Your potential is in who you are, not who you used to be. You're not of this world. We're going to understand this in a way we've never understood it once we are in eternity. I hope that we all come to that same level of understanding the way Jesus did. That what he understood about himself, we would also come to that place of understanding it about ourselves. Hey, I'm working on this too, guys. And I'm understanding it better than what I used to, but I'm still not understanding it to the magnitude I need. I'm not of this world. I'm wearing a world suit, but I'm not of this world. You know, it's funny. We see these TV specials about, is there alien life among us? Yeah! I'm one of them. It's true. We must get into the Word and get the revelation, the spiritual wisdom and knowledge, the understanding, the comprehension, who we are in Christ, and realize, hey, I'm in this world. Bless God, I am not of this world. And I don't have to be dominated by the things of this world.